Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel, and tonight with me is my lovely real rare Serene Israel, and we are still dealing with Black Hebrew Month, and we are dealing with Rebecca. Rebecca, and the title of this one is Rebecca, the Mother of Two Nations. Rebecca, the Mother of Two Nations. So, what is that? What did it mean to us? What do it mean that she is mentioned in the Word of God? What do we have to do with her? You know, because when we look at these people, we put them on our level. You know, we put them in our boxes and things like that, and we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't put these matriarchs and patriarchs in our boxes because they're so much bigger than us. God visit them, God touched them, God did some miraculous things with them, and not saying that he hasn't done these things with us, what I'm saying is these things are written, that he said that he did these things. He had, in fact, Moses write these things down. He had Moses write these things down, that he did these things. So, we are looking at the matriarchs, the mothers, right? We're looking at the mothers of God, the mothers of the kingdom of God. What is that? What do that mean to us? If we could understand them, then just maybe we could start shaking some of this nonsense that we grew up in, you know, thinking in a certain manner, in a certain way. Thinking that the Word of God is built around our narrow conversation. And the Word of God is so much more. It's so much bigger. And we really need to dive into these things. I know when we read the Bible, when I read it, I speedballed through it. I was in a hurry. And I tried to read the Bible, said, you know, for one, to say that I read it, two, to say that, you know, hey, I read my book, and that's the thing, and I read my book. We all, you know, and I suggest that for everyone to read their Bibles. We are dealing with Rebecca. You know, we dealt with Eve, We dealt with Sarah. And now we asking the same question. Is Sarah wisdom? Is she understanding? Is she virtue? Is she a queen? Is she a helpmeet? Is she these things that belong to God? So let's get into this. Let's start this.
Well, open up with.
Yeah, we definitely want to open up. So, Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what happened last week. That's what I was telling you. You have to probably turn that one off.
Nah. It's cool.
Okay.
On the counter feel comfortable. So, with that being said, we're going to say shalom to our sister Ray. Say shalom.
Shalom, family. Shalom, King.
Amen. Well, if we could ask our brothers and sisters if they could stand and face Jerusalem. And brothers, if you can, uncover your heads as we approach the Father. And sisters, if you can cover your head as we stand and approach the Father. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his way. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. In Jesus' precious, holy, mighty name, I pray. We pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. That thing.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in that family. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God. Delight in blessing us because they see your light and your kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children. And Father, have mercy and send forth the Holy Spirit. Give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth the Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Sarah, the mother of two nations. Amen.
Amen.
So for our family that we're about to go live on Facebook, if you would like to tune in live, leave us a message in the message box on the Sounds of Living Waters, and we'd be glad to send you our Facebook link. Once again, we are dealing with Rebecca. Again, that's Rebecca. The mother of two nations. Amen. So, that being said,
power on.
Okay.
And we want to welcome our family that's watching us live on Facebook. And we want to welcome you too, as well as we are broadcasting live on the Sounds of Living Waters. And tonight we are dealing with Rebecca. We are still in a Black Hebrew Women Month. As we can see, their conversations run really deep in the Word. And I think we've been overlooking their portion and what the Father brought them, what he allowed them to bring to the table. I think that we should look at those things. I think those things should not be overlooked. Like I said, it was a time that the Father allowed me to through his precept called All About Eve. And it wasn't nothing wrong with the scriptures as I was told. But the Father allowed that lesson, because I redid it, and then I redid it with a sister, because that kept me mindful of who I was talking about. And when I did it, I wasn't in the spirit like I was supposed to be, and I was imitating someone else instead of imitating God and imitating God in Christ. And that's what I should have been doing, but I was imitating a man, and I came off kind of bogus. But, you know, a lot of us aren't releases. You know, a lot of us don't know how to release, you know, instead of saying, well, I'm going to have to shut you down. That ain't the end of everything. All he had to say, look, got a lot of calls that night. Retweak it, and we'll do it again, and we'll scratch this one. Nah, that wasn't the case, you know. But then the God of Israel said, okay. Then he gave me this. And so this is from him. That was from him. You see, and one thing about God, we can't do nothing to disrupt what he had planned for us to do. Amen? So we are dealing with Rebecca. Forgive me, I'm a little bit tired. But we're dealing with Rebecca now. Now, the question is Rebecca wisdom?
Amen.
If she's understanding, if she's virtuous, is she a helpmeet? Is she a queen? Well, we'll let the scriptures dictate that, and we'll settle that out at the end of this precept. Let's start this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, 7 and 1. Proverbs 7 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Proverbs 7 and 1 reads, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye.
See, Solomon spoke in the place of the father. That's the one thing. David spoke in the place of the son, which is way out, because you would think that David, being a father, he would have spoken in the place of the father. He did not. He spoke in the place of the son. Solomon spoke in the place of the father. That's why you hear Solomon saying, my son this and my son that. If Jesus was reading this book, it'd be the father talking to him. That's how he would read it. My son. Who else will he be calling my son? This book ain't for everybody. Everybody don't read the Bible. Not even those of us that call ourselves Hebrews. Some of us don't even pick our books up until the Sabbath day. And barely do that. You know, and then, of course, the world ain't seeking them, you know. So when you read in this book and he say, my son, he's talking to the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. So this is that thing. So let's keep this in mind. Continue. This is the Father talking here. Continue.
Amen. Proverbs 7:3 reads,
mm-hmm.
Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart.
Uh-huh.
Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
Okay, so we looked up the word wisdom, and we looked up the word understanding. If you wasn't here for that, then that's supposed to be a homework study for you to look up, especially if you're a woman, because you need to know if you're a sister or a kinswoman, or if you are wisdom or understanding or virtue, or maybe none of the above. You see, or maybe these things just never been revealed to us, and we can make choices of what path we choose. But if you don't know, then you're going to always choose the path that's in front of you, because you don't have no other choice. But with this, you have another choice. Why? Because we went and dug up the spirit before sin. And that's what we're trying to deal with. We're not trying to deal with the sin part. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an easy kill, you know, to pull up somebody's sin or their mm-hmm. faults or whatever, you know. And then some of us want to judge Abraham and Sarah like they can, or that they have faults that they can look at and say, aha, no, we can't even do that. You know, Jesus didn't even bring it up. Jesus didn't even talk about Ahab and Jezebel or Jeroboam or Cain, none of them. He didn't bring none of them up, you see, because that's not the spirit of God, you know, to be talking about somebody false. That's not our concerns. Our concerns is that he said eat from every tree of the garden, and what we want to eat is the good fruit.
Amen.
We don't want to eat the poison or the rotten fruit, because if you do, then it may be detrimental to your health and your being and your salvation ultimately. So we don't want that for you. So is Rebecca wisdom? Is she a sister? Is she a kinswoman? We're going to find all this out. Go to Proverbs chapter 8:1. Proverbs 8:1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Proverbs 8:1 reads, doeth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door.
Why is that? Because it was wisdom that named the gates.
Amen.
It was wisdom that put the names of the 12 tribes on the gates of New Jerusalem that's coming. Leah and Rachel named the gates. So it was a woman, it was two women that named the gates of the city. And God called the city Jerusalem and identified Jerusalem as a feminine, her.
Amen.
Now, he said this, he cries at the gate. This is, she's crying unto the sons of man, like the son of man. He's crying unto all of us. And the high places, what is she calling us to do? To follow God, to do his will, and receive your inheritance by being obedient to him. Skip down to 22.
Proverbs 8 and 22?
Yes, ma'am.
Proverbs 8 and verse 22 reads, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was."
So was Rebecca predestinated? Because that's predestination. I was set up before the world was. So before I was brought into the creation, my story was already written. Asked John the Baptist, was Sarah predestinated? Was Rebecca predestinated? That's the question. Mm-hmm. I love. Continue.
Proverbs 8 and verse 24 reads, "When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water."
So when there was nothing, I was dead. When there was nothing, when there was nothing, like nothing, before there was nothing, she was already mentioned.
Amen.
A story was already told. She was predestinated. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, this is the thing. Are we going to see Rebecca? Was she predestinated? You know, was she called into this mission? Was she called, or was this some kind of fluke, and that she just happened to end up in this position marrying Isaac? Or was she predestinated? Was Isaac predestinated? Of course he was predestinated. God told Abraham, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And you're going to call him Isaac. That's predestination.
Amen.
So now we see he was predestinated. Now the question is, was Rebecca predestinated? That's the other thing. Not all of us is predestinated to be about the Father's will. Some of us, it's for lessons.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 and verse 3, when you receive it, read.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world."
We just read that. We read that in Proverbs chapter 8. Before the world was, he chose us before. That's predestination.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. Verse 4 again. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will."
So the good pleasure of his will was that Sarah was going to have a son named Isaac. Isaac was going to have a son named Esau and Jacob. Jacob was going to receive the inheritance and have 12 tribes. That's predestination. So Rebecca is predestinated. She's predestinated. But we can't just look at their conversation and just blow over it like, you know, oh, it's just a read. No, man, this is a real conversation. We're talking about, he said he had them written before there was nothing.
Amen.
Before there was a sun, a moon. Everything we see right now, it was already written about. Everything that we see, cars, air, sun, stars, clouds, water, earth. The story was already told. It was predestinated. Let's look at this a little further. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 and 4. When you receive it, read.
Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Amen. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones."
So did Sarah make Abraham ashamed? No. Did Rebecca make Isaac ashamed? No. So they are virtuous women. And they are queens. He said they are crown upon a man's head. So she is representing a queen just by being virtuous. I mean, the queen in God's eyes, not like the queen of England or Spain or, you know, wherever they may be, wherever they have that type of monarchy going on.
Amen.
No, this one here is dictated by God. Continue. No. So go to Revelations chapter 12 and verse 1. Because he said this. He said, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband's head. So are we gonna find out that Rebecca was a crown to Isaac's head?
Amen.
When you receive a read.
Revelation 12 and verse 1 reads, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered.
See, now, here it is. She's being with child. She pained to be delivered. So Rebecca was with child, just like Sarah was. And Sarah was barren for a minute, and so was Rebecca. But then the Lord gave Rebecca two nations. She's the mother of two different nations that's relevant in the 21st century. So her conversation run all the way from 1015 BC all the way to now. Her conversation is almost 5,000 years old.
Amen.
And it's still running. And he said this, I'm going to make your name last through all generations. How many Rebeccas have you met in your life? How many Sarahs have you met in your life? Leah's and Rachel's. Let's look at this a little further. Skip down to 5.
Amen.
So we see, Revelations 12 and 5. We can see that she's pregnant, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue.
Revelation 12 and 5 reads, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
That was the blessing that Isaac laid on Jacob. That the man child was going to come through Jacob and that he was going to rule with God. That was the blessing. So, yes, she was definitely predestinated. Yes, this is definitely her.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 and verse
Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10 reads, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her.
He said, who can find a virtuous woman? First of all, you're not going to find her. That's the first thing. You're not going to find her. She come with prayer. She's in heaven, just like the book said. She said she's in heaven with a crown on her head.
Amen.
She ain't for everybody. Everybody ain't supposed to know her. Everybody is supposed to be able to touch her. She is not to be handled by fools.
Mm-hmm.
She isn't built that way.
Amen.
She is made to be an heir. So Revelation chapter 12 is definitely Rebecca. And it says this. This is what it says about virtuous. It says, having or showing virtue, especially moral excellence. So she had to have more excellence, like Sarah. Sarah had moral excellence.
Amen.
The book said that she had a chaste conversation. You see, it said characterized by expressing virtue, moral excellence, right and upright, conforming to the morals and ethical principles. Morally excellent and upright. So when God chose Rebecca, he was choosing a woman of God for a man of God.
Amen.
Because he was going to reveal his plan to her and that she was going to carry out this plan. She was going to have to be faithful.
Amen.
So not only is she virtuous, but she also had to be faithful. Under virtue comes faith, the operation and the fulfilling of faith. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter 2 and 18. He said, who can find a virtuous woman, man? She come with prayer. You ain't going to find her in a, you might can find her in a club. I doubt it. You might, but all things is possible with God. I'm not
That's
saying,
right.
You know, you might find her in a laundromat. You might find her in a library. You might find her on a bus. You know, you might find her in a cereal aisle. You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
At your local grocery store. But
mm-hmm.
Or a friend may introduce her to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's from God. Now, every woman is from God. You got to, if you're a man of God, then you're supposed to seek a virtuous woman in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows us how to seek a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? You can't find her. She is from God. He will deliver her to you. You're not going to find her. She come with prayer.
Amen.
Genesis 2 and 18, when you receive it, read.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 reads, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord...
He said, it's not good.
Amen.
He said it. Moses didn't. We didn't. Adam didn't. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. So this is that thing. Now, is she a helpmeet? We looked up the word helpmeet. We're not going to revisit all these things all over again because, well, that's another homework study. If you really want these gifts, if you really want this spirit, then you are going to look these things up yourself because you want to plant that. We all dirt. So you want to plant these things in your being so they can start manifesting themselves. Then you can start living out your prophecy. I'm going to make a help me for him. Right?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter, wait a minute, where am I?
I just read Genesis 2 and 18.
Okay, good. Genesis 24 and verse 1. Here come Abraham. He's older. Right, he's old, and obviously he must have felt like he was going to die, but he didn't die. He lived like an additional 30-some years after this, but okay. Anyway, find my son a wife, right? Find my son a wife. So now he's going to find Isaac a wife. Isaac didn't find her. She was brought to him. Like I said, you can't find a virtuous woman. I can't find a virtuous woman. She only comes with prayer. We're going to see that. Rebecca come with prayer. Because if she come with prayer, she fits Proverbs chapter 31 like a glove. Genesis 24:1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1 reads, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell.
Not the daughters of the world.
Amen.
Continue.
Verse 4. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Okay.
So, yeah, don't take him back to the land or where his father from.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house.
There it is. His father's house. Go find my son a daughter from my father's house. Is that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
That you will find, he said, go find my son or daughter in my father's house.
Amen.
Well, isn't our father in heaven?
Amen. That's right, babe.
Continue.
Amen. Genesis 24 and 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife to my son from thence.
He prophesied.
Amen.
He didn't say he wasn't going to do it. He said, the Lord is going to send an angel before you, and you're going to find my son a wife. You're going to bring her back here to this land that the God of Israel gave me. So Abraham is a prophet.
Amen.
Let's look at this. So his servant got ready to ride. Let's look at this. Continue.
Okay, verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath.
Skip down to 10.
Go to 10.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Genesis 24 and verse 10 reads, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor.
That's Abraham's father's city. That's where Abraham is from. So now Rebecca is a kindred. She is understanding. You need to look these words up, because these are spiritual gifts that he had written in women before they was created.
Amen.
Remember now, the book said, I was there before anything. Your story was already told. If you cut from this. So he took 10 camels, right? He loaded up and went out. So he ain't like got 10 camels by himself. He just got on a camel and started riding by himself and drug 10 camels. No, man, this dude went stacked. Abraham was broke off. He was rich.
Amen.
No, he was wealthy.
Wealthy.
He was David kind of rich. He was way up the food chain. If Abraham wanted to build a temple, I'm pretty sure he could have. That's how broke off he was. So this man riding off of 10 camels, he rode off of 10 camels of goods, treasures, and silks, and clothes, linen, and all type of stuff, gold and silver and jewels and all that. You think he by himself? Seriously? No, he isn't by himself. In fact, Abraham ain't gonna send nobody with all his stuff that can't handle himself, right?
Right.
Go to Genesis chapter 14. 14. Genesis 14 to pick it up at 14. This lets me know that this man here that he sent was, he said, the eldest servant. So he had to have been one of them dudes that rode with him to go get Lot. He was one of them. And they took out 5 kings by themselves. Abraham knocked off 5 kings, so Abraham wasn't no joke. It's like one army going up against 5 armies, and he did it with 318 dudes.
Amen.
So he said he sent his eldest servant, and you know he was right by his side when he went to go get Lot. You know he knew Lot. Let's look at that. So when they rode off with them camels, they wasn't just riding. They was, if anybody got stupid, they knew how to handle themselves. Trust that.
Amen.
Let's not look at this like this some kind of corny fairy tale. It is not. It's about men in a world of the ungodly.
Right.
And they had to protect themselves. And they knew how to protect themselves. And the God of Israel was with them to make sure that they had no harm would come to them. But they had to know how to protect themselves. 14 and verse 14, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 14 and 14 reads, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318.
There it is.
And pursued them into Dan.
That's the same one he asked God about. You mean my eldest servant is going to inherit everything that I got? He said, no, man, you're going to have you a son, and his name is going to be called Isaac because you laughed. Mm-hmm. So this guy here didn't just ride by himself. Mm-hmm. He knew how to handle himself, but he took some men with him. Mm-hmm. Probably some of the same 300 that was with him. It didn't say how many. It said that he took some with him. Because he got 10 camels of a whole lot of dough. It's like he riding around with like 10 Brinks trucks. So serious.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. Verse 15.
Yes, ma'am.
And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the woman, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chaldolamir?
Yeah, something like that.
And of the king.
That's like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 syllables, 6 syllables? Read on.
Amen. And of the kings that were with him. At the Valley of Sheveh, which is in the King's Dale.
So if Abraham there, then that make Abraham a king. He's in a king's Dale. Abraham was a king.
Amen.
Let's not look at Abraham like he's some kind of sheep herder and he had sheep running around at his front door and dogs pissing around on him. It wasn't none of that. This man had, he was a king. He had a, it was set up. You know, if you look at these old films and stuff like that, Abraham and Sarah, man, that is like, did they even read the book? It's like that movie Noah. It's almost as bad as watching that. When you look at the story of Abraham and Sarah, they were not tacky. They were kings and queens.
Amen.
They were rich, very, very wealthy. And I can't elaborate on their tents enough. They was not living in a teepee. I would say their tent will make Ringley Brothers look kind of shabby. In fact, small.
Amen. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God.
Now here go the King of Kings meeting Abraham at the King's Dale and told him about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Not here, but I'm sure when they were sitting in front of his house, there was a lot of chopping up around there. Read on.
Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
See, so you got to pay your tithes, man. If you want to get into the kingdom, if you want a throne, that come with tithes. You can sit up there and say, I don't believe in no church tithes or whatever. You're greedy. It's all to it. You're just trying to cuff your money. All you got to do, pay your little 10 cent. Give him a dime. That's all he asks.
Amen. Amen.
You know. Anywho, he said this. He said, and Abraham gave him a tenth of all that he had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the King of Kings met Abraham at the King's Dale, which make Abraham a king, which make Sarah a queen.
Amen.
They were not servants. No. They wasn't even servants to Pharaoh. They wasn't servants to Abimelech. They were just moving through. They moved through with their caravan, their armies. It was just that Pharaoh was like, would be like Saudi Arabia to Russia or the United States. You know, they like superpowers, man, you know. So you wasn't going to mess with them. You know, you knew where you was. You know, these dudes are set up real good, and they was old in the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they had to be really old because we're talking about Mesopotamia and just 10 and maybe at best 15 generations from the flood, and Egypt is in existence. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, so let me bring this back up. So this let me know that Abraham's servant not only was there to fight with Abraham, but he also saw Melchizedek. Bless him.
Amen.
So he knew who to pray to. When he saw him and he saw what this, it was a bigger thing, it was bigger than, it was larger than life,
mm-hmm.
he knew who to call upon. Because he know, he's seen it for himself. He met, he didn't, I ain't gonna say he met him, he seen him.
Amen.
Something we never done. Maybe, you know, we might have, but we, you know, ain't identified ourselves. Yeah, I'm Jesus, and if he did, you're like, yeah, a crackpot. Anyway, where are we? Go to 18. Genesis 18 and verse 1.
Genesis 18.
And verse 1.
And verse 1 reads, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre.
So this is God. He's coming to his house. And we want to judge Sarah for giving her servant Hagar to Abraham because she knew that the King of Kings told him that he was going to become a great kingdom. So she sacrificed herself.
Amen.
And put herself and her feelings aside that the kingdom would live through Hagar. We want to judge Sarah like that was some out of pocket or something like that. No, man, this woman was selfless. She put the kingdom over herself. But these women is today,
mm-hmm.
Abraham would have died without a child. And you listen at them, you listen at that conversation about Hagar and Abraham and Sarah, he wouldn't have had no ass. He would have just died with no children, even though they heard the word.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them that's judging Sarah and Abraham heard the word. And so when you hear that, you'd be like, wow, man. So it ain't in you to save the kingdom.
Mm.
That's what I be hearing. That's what I hear. When I hear brothers and sisters dogging Abraham, like they got a place to, from a slave camp here, this prison camp called the United States of the Americas. It's your prison camp. And you're going to judge Abraham, who's a free man, by God, set up by God, and his wife. And here it is. We are looking at that like that was a bogus situation. No, Sarah was saving the kingdom. She sacrificed personal feelings to further the kingdom because she believed in God too. And she believed that God told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. And she knew that she couldn't have children.
Amen.
So that thing wasn't no mistake. It was what it was. Let's look at this a little further. What did I say? Genesis 18 and 1?
Yeah,
continue. So God is visiting Abraham. He's actually there. He's at Abraham's house. Now, continue.
Amen. Genesis 18 in the middle of 1.
Yes.
And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground.
This man is 90 years old. He's running.
Amen.
That lets me know that he had a lot of juice, man. When he took those kings down, he was 80.
Wow.
So he wasn't like no old, broke-down dude like we be seeing in these movies. Get that out your head. That is not him. He's mobile. He's very mobile. He's running. I used to watch Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this character, but it was called Mr. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be up there, "I'm coming," and he'd be shuffling around. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that had to be the most funniest character they had, because nobody could keep a straight face when he was doing that. And I mean, he was funny with that. But Abraham was nothing like that.
Amen.
Abraham was juice, Jack. In fact, I wouldn't want to run up on him this day. Read on.
Amen. Genesis 18:3. "And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree."
Who brought it? Who brought the water to wash their feet? It wasn't Abraham. He said, "Let a little water be fetched for you." That's what a king would say.
Amen.
So his servant, eldest servant, because he ain't going to let no knuckleheads just come up and try to serve God. He was going to have his number one servant serve God. That's him. He got that water. He sent him again. So he knew God was.
Amen.
He knew what he was praying to. God knows if he was allowed to even listen at that conversation. Let's look at this a little further. Go to Genesis 24 and verse 10. Let's go back to the caravan, right? Because now he's on his way to go get Rebecca. Now he's going, the servant has got the 10 camels. He's riding alone, and he's about to go to Mesopotamia, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where Abraham is from. Read on.
Genesis 24 and 10 reads, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham."
Who is he talking to? He's talking to God. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Be a witness.
Amen.
He was there when Abraham was getting all these blessings. He seen all of it. He was there. That was Abraham's right-hand dude, his right-hand man. I got to get my street out. I'm told I'm a little tired. So, excuse me. He's his right-hand man. So, continue.
Amen. Verse 13.
So, he's calling on the Lord, right?
Amen.
Okay. Continue.
13. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out."
Predestinated. Before he even got done praying, she was on her way.
Amen.
That's predestination. Answered the call. The Spirit had told her, go to the well now. So she got herself together. You know, it's a normal day to her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another, you know, I got to get my water so I can water, do my chores or whatever it may be. My business that I have to be about. And she went and ran it to his servant. But this is all at the same time of he just got through praying. No, he didn't even get through praying before she showed up. Continue.
Amen. Let's do 15 again. Genesis 24 and 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down into the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
Now, let's look at this word fair.
Amen.
Okay. Because I know we get caught up on, you know, that she was eye candy. And ain't nothing wrong with that, you know, that she was beautiful.
Amen.
Or maybe it wasn't even a word to describe how beautiful she really was.
Amen.
But for the sake of, we're going to say she was fair, right? So what do fair mean? It says of pleasing appearance, especially because of fresh quality, comely. It says moderate, good, acceptable, satisfactory, proper, and proper or legal matters. So she was going to be schooled in the law. Well, she would have to be if she was going to be a queen. So fair means that it's not just beautiful, but you're also a student. And you're a student of the law. What law? The laws of the God of Israel. And also says, to the greatest and fullest extent possible. Go ahead.
Fair, decent, straight, upright, reasonable, suitable, medium, moderate.
So it's upright?
Mm-hmm, upright.
So upright is in virtue. So fair and upright is the same thing. So when he said that she was fair, he also said she was upright. She was righteous. What else?
Reasonable, suitable. Then it says bright, light, clear, sunny, lucid, beautiful, pretty, lovely, good, well, kind, comfortable, convenient, easy, handy, favorable, proper, kosher, right, and worthy.
And mine say this, it say free from bias, dishonesty, or injustice.
Amen.
How about that for qualities?
Amen.
You know, this is the same quality that Sarah had laid upon her, the exact same qualities. That is to say, she was fair. So she was free from dishonesty, bias, she didn't have no respect of person thing working in her, or injustice, legitimately sought, given, proper under the rules. That's good. So all these attributes has already been implanted in her. So this is what the man prayed for, right? Let this one be the one that you have for my master's son, Isaac. Amen. Rebekah came out before he was even done praying. She was already there. That's predestination.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Where are we? Genesis 24 and what are we leaving? Okay, that's good. Go to Romans chapter 8 and 30.
Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 reads, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Wait a minute. So he called her. Amen. She was called by the power of prayer.
Amen.
She was called.
That's right.
Through predestined, her story was written before there was nothing.
Amen.
You gotta lead them people alone. You better lead Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they wives alone. Lead that alone. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want God to hear you even saying anything about them. Because he checked people. He said, wherefore wasn't you afraid to speak to my servant Moses? Ephesians chapter 1 and 11. Ephesians 1 and 11. When you receive it, read.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 reads, "And whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will."
So we have an inheritance being predestinated.
Amen.
So Isaac was predestinated to be heir to Abraham and to receive his inheritance.
Amen.
Whatever Abraham had coming from God, Isaac was going to get it. Continue. Peace. Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's go into Romans chapter 9 and verse 9.
Amen.
Romans 9 and 9. So we see that there's an inheritance in place here too. Read on.
Romans chapter 9 and verse 9 reads, "For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son."
Predestination.
Amen.
Read on.
"And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that called it."
Predestinated.
Amen.
Predestinated. I mean, some people are just called to be about that life.
Amen.
You know, and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham was called to be about that life. And you see it here. You see God moving, man. He's calling shots before they happen.
Amen.
He's bringing children into the world before they even born. He's talking about children being born before they were born.
Amen.
That's predestination, not reincarnation. That's predestination.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis 24 and 15. We're going to get a little further into that story. The servant is finding Rebecca at this time. Let's get a little further into that story. And let's pick it up at 15.
Amen. Genesis 24 and 15 reads, "And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder."
So what's Rebecca's mama name? Just said it.
You're going to say Bethuel?
No.
Milcah?
That's her.
So...
So Rebecca's mother is mentioned in the scriptures.
Milcah.
She got lineage. She got lineage.
To Bethel, son of Milcah.
Both her mother and her father was mentioned by God. She got lineage going all the way back to Shem. In fact, Shem is still alive.
Amen.
He not dead. He didn't die until Joseph was in Egypt. Look at the time window. You know, I was just sitting down, and then I just started playing with the time window and started, well, I wasn't playing with it. You know, God put it in my mind. Hey, write down this date and break down, you know how long it was before Adam had self, and then just start running that down. About time I got to Joseph, by the time I got to the 12 tribes, Shem was still alive. Shem didn't die until Joseph became ruler in Egypt. Or was he in Egypt? I think when he became ruler. But nobody knew he was Joseph, and Shem didn't either, but he was still alive. Shem lived to be 500 years old. Abraham only lived to be 175. Shem outlived Abraham and Isaac. Do the math. You see that.
Okay. Milcah was the daughter of Haran and the wife of Nahor. Okay. According to the genealogy of Genesis, she is identified as the grandmother of Rebekah. Okay.
What?
Yeah, that's what I
said. It says, born of Bethel, the son of Milcah, and the wife of Nicol. Oh, yeah. I see it.
That's why I got
that. That's grandmother. Yeah. Right. That's mm-hmm. grandmother. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, anyway, read on.
Okay.
Good catch. Yeah.
No. Okay. So, verse 16?
Yes. 24
and 16. Okay. Genesis 24 and 16 reads, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said.
So he running too.
Amen.
He wasn't lazy about that. I mean, he came riding in on 10 camels full of all kind of goods. So you know he looking good. You know he smelling good. And he running to this girl. He running to her. That's how much he believed in God. That's how much faith he had in God, that he knew that God was going to answer his prayers. So he wasn't going to miss his blessing. He ran there. So he running. Continue.
17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord.
She called him king. She didn't know who he was. She just knew that he looked like one. Just because, you know, he not Abraham don't mean that Abraham didn't take care of him. He lived good, too.
Amen.
That was his number one servant. That was one, that to him, that was his son. Continue.
Amen. Verse 19, and when she had done giving him, let's do 18 again, and she said, drink, my lord, and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking.
Help.
That's right.
They were the word help. So she just helped him, you know. He said, can I have some water? He didn't ask no water for the camels. He asked water for himself. But the prayer was is that she will also water the camels. But he didn't bring that up. He let God move on that.
Amen.
Because it's a different, you know, this different sorts of prayers. You got another one prayer when we praying together and we praying out and, you know, we praying over someone and things like that for healing or whatever it may be. So we're praying over the congregation or family or whatever it may be. But then there's the breakthroughs. You need a breakthrough. That's the one that you keep between your ears.
That's right.
You don't let it fall out your mouth.
Amen.
When you need a breakthrough, you don't let that leave your mouth.
Amen.
Because the enemy will imitate it
mm-hmm.
and send you something that's from him.
True.
Continue.
Amen. Verse 20, and she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass that the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold.
So he gave her one earring. One earring. $700.
Mm.
One earring, $700 on the market today. A half a shekel of gold is $700.
Mm.
One earring, right? And then he said two bracelets of 10 shekels, right?
Mm-hmm.
$7,000. $7,000 for water and camels.
Wow.
So this was nothing to him. He just gave it to her. So Abraham was stacked. And his servant was, they didn't know nothing about not being able to be a blessing. They do like, boom, I mean, you know, yeah. Gave her a bracelet and an earring, $7,700, just like that. Boom. No problem, no sweat, no, hey, let me check the budget. None of that.
Right.
None of that. Just for water and the camels. Continue.
Verse 23, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord.
The God of Israel.
Amen.
Continue. The God of Abraham and Jacob. Continue.
And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban.
That's who Jacob got swindled by. He the one that put Leah in front of Rachel. That's him. He a shyster to a degree. I'm not saying he's, well, his characteristics say that he was about that life.
Mm.
You know, when you read it, you can see that he was about that life. He was a shyster. Read on.
Amen. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out into the man, into the well.
Yo, he just seen 7,000. He seen the earrings and the jewelry. Oh, he ran out there.
Because yes,
he that's him. Continue.
And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him.
Told he wasn't by himself.
Amen.
He came with a crew. And I bet you it was the same dudes that was with Abraham that took care of that business. They took down them five kings and their armies.
Mm.
So when he moved them 10 camels, he was not by himself.
Amen.
He had some mercs with him.
Amen.
Abraham had mercs. He was a king. He had special trained killers.
Mm.
Read on.
Amen. Verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my
aunt. Let me reiterate that. Abraham had mercs. He had special trained killers that we read in Genesis chapter 14. He said he got 300 of his specially trained servants.
Mm-hmm.
He had mercs. He had a Navy SEAL team, Green Beret, right?
Amen.
He had a squad, and he led them. 80 years old, he in the front. Read on.
Amen. Verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until
I have some. So he's fasting? He's fasting. If you're fasting, you in prayer.
Amen.
He said, I will not eat
until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on.
Continue.
And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses.
That ain't little, man.
Amen.
That's huge. He said, not a herd, plural.
Amen.
Not a camel, plural.
Amen.
Not a flock, plural. So not only was he able to feed his family, he was able to feed everybody that was working for him.
Amen.
And paid them. They wasn't there for free. They wasn't there for free. They was getting paid.
That's right.
Read on.
Verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he has.
Inheritance. See? Inheritance. So fair also leads to what? An inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So she's heir to this.
Amen.
Rebecca is heir Abraham's fortune.
Amen.
By God. She was predestinated to be a part of that family.
Amen.
Read on.
Verse 37, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son or the daughter of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, preadventure the woman will not follow me. He said unto me.
Now remember that.
Yeah.
Now they heard this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, preadventure the woman would not follow me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca isn't here. This is the men talking. These are the elders, right? Read on.
Verse 40. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house.
So she is understanding. How many times you got to call her kindred? Isn't that in the law? Proverbs chapter 7 and 4.
Amen.
He said, call understanding thy kinswoman. So Sarah, Rebecca is coming with understanding.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. Verse 41. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart.
Stop. Before he had done speaking where?
In his heart.
So he wasn't praying out. He was looking for a breakthrough.
Amen.
So when you're looking for a breakthrough, you can't be speaking your prayers into the air because the enemy will replicate it.
Amen.
And send a distortion. What if he had prayed out loud? Rebecca, he probably would have got Rebecca all tied up and sent the wrong one out there.
Amen.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
This is that thing. But here, he said, before I had done speaking in
my heart.
Why? Read that verse. Go ahead.
Genesis 24 and 45. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee.
Stop. So he said, before I was done speaking in my heart, let's look at this. Let's see this play out in other areas. Let's go into 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 20. Now, this is Samuel, mama. She couldn't have any children, and she had a sister wife, if you don't call them that these days. Well, she was having children. She was not. And so she prayed to God for a son, for a husband, right? So this is this story, but the thing is, we're not getting off into Samuel and how he became a prophet and all this whole type of good stuff. We're not dealing with that right now. We're dealing with the power of prayer and how this worked here, how this actually worked. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9 reads, "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come."
1 Samuel 1 and 9.
Oh,
forgive
me. 1 Samuel 1 and 9.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9 reads, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drank. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post."
Not Eli Jacob. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
"Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore.
Uh-huh.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy
handmaid." So she said this, right? Continue.
"If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head."
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Continue.
Verse 12, "And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from
thee." Whoa, 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 whoa. You see how we read right past that? You see how we just read right past that? Read it again.
14. "And Eli said unto her."
13.
Okay. 13. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart."
Oh, so she asked all these things in the privacy of her mind, just like the servant did. She was looking for a breakthrough. She didn't put a prayer. She didn't even pray. She didn't even say, "Eli, pray for me." She didn't say none of that. She needed a breakthrough.
Amen.
And she got it. How did she get it? By not opening up her mouth. It's one way that we pray for one another. Mm-hmm. It's another way when we pray for family and the people in the country and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when we, you and I, need a breakthrough, you don't open your mouth. When you need to know something from God, keep your mouth shut. He reveal it to
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition as thou hast asked of him."
What? What? The high priest, Eli, just told her she's going to have a son.
Amen.
And he can't lie.
Amen.
He's the high priest.
That's right.
So he just told her she got a breakthrough. That's by keeping her mouth shut. She didn't even tell her what her prayers was. She just said she had a sorrowful heart.
Right.
And he said, the God of Israel grant, he didn't say, may the God of Israel grant you, you know, in case, well, you know, he didn't say none of that. He said, the God of Israel, read that. He gave it to her.
Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 1 and 17. Then Eli answered and said,
go in peace.
Go in peace.
The God of Israel.
The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
Done.
Amen.
Done. Just like done. That's how you approach God. When you need a breakthrough, you keep your prayers in between your ears and
right.
And don't be spitting it out your mouth.
Amen.
People want to sit up here and talk, you know, people walk through the house speaking all in tongues and all this, you know, I'm speaking in an unknown tongue where it ain't unknown to the angels.
Man, all right, amen.
Some things you're supposed to keep between yourself and God.
Amen.
And these are those things. Continue.
Verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
See, she was fasting. See that? Amen. They ate. She didn't.
Amen.
Now she went. She said, I ain't had no drink. I ain't had no, none of that. But she didn't say I wasn't eating because she didn't want him to, she was praying, but she didn't even tell him she was fasting.
Amen.
How about that? She didn't tell the high priest I'm fasting. You know why? Because he is flesh and blood. That's between you and God.
That's
you
right.
Don't need no preacher man to get that.
Amen.
You need a preacher man to confirm it. If that be the case.
Amen.
If there's one available, he'll confirm it. But you don't need one to bring your prayers any closer, as we can see. Continue.
Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord.
There it is. Yeah. So Samuel was born through prayer.
Amen.
Yes, see that?
Yes, sir.
So this is that thing, man, you know. Reason why you pray between your ears is because the enemy can't read our minds. Only God can read your thoughts.
Amen.
The enemy cannot read our minds. Unless they don't, not even the Holy Ghost can read your mind. Your prayer go up, the God of Israel send it to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will give it to you or whatever it is. You know, but they don't even know. Your prayers is between you and God. That breakthrough prayer is between you and God.
Amen.
Let's look at that. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, Solomon just dedicated the temple. And what we're doing is showing the power of that prayer that the servant put up. Because this is pivotal, man. This is a pivotal time. He's finding a wife for the throne, you know, because Isaac is a prince. He's going to be a king. When Abraham died, Isaac is going to end up a king. He was a king. And when he blessed Jacob, Jacob became the next ruler. We don't look at it like that because we don't hear terms like kings and things like that, but when you look at their walk and you look at who they was with and you look at the areas and the things that they have, that's royalty.
Amen.
And not out of the idea of this, you know, European royalty, you know, gray, cold, gray. Cloudy, sticky. Well, none of that. And besides, we didn't kill our kings. Even if they was wicked, we didn't kill our kings. They kill their kings. They'd take a throne in a New York second. We touched the throne, we knew we were going to the lake of fire because that throne Whoever was sitting on that throne was from God, good or bad.
Amen.
Read on.
1 Kings 8 and did you say 22?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Kings 8 and 22 reads, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand toward heaven."
Okay. Now he's praying. Now skip down to 38 and continue.
Verse 38. "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men."
What?
That's right.
See that? He the only one that know the thoughts of man.
Right.
Even the angels don't know. Satan don't know.
Right.
The devil made me do it. That's because you wanted to.
That's right.
Can't even say that.
Mm.
You know, we used to just say, "Oh yeah, well, you know, he must have read my mind." No, man. Nope. You did it because you wanted to do it.
Right.
Start with that. God read minds.
Amen.
We can't hide. We can't hide from him. No matter where you go, there you are. As long as his breath in you. No matter where you go, there you are. He
Amen.
Is in your head.
Sorry.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go back to Genesis. All right? Let's go back to Genesis. Pick it up at 24:45. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis chapter 20.
Because we're still dealing with Rebecca, but we're just showing the power of prayer. We're just showing how it is that when you need, this is how you approach God. You know, you can't be up there, "Yo, God, I'm Israel. You know, we black, we you know, woo, woo." No, that ain't how he moves. He don't move like that. Because he told you in the Song of Solomon, he said, "Look not upon me because I am black. My own mother's children was angry with me." So you ain't going to get by with that. He said, "My own mother's children were angry with me." That was Christ saying that. And then he said, "And y'all made me the keeper of other vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept." See that? Continue.
Amen. Genesis chapter 24, and you said verse 45?
45, yes, ma'am.
Amen. Verse 45 reads, "And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master brother's daughter unto his son. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethel answered and said, The thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good."
See, that's a Laban hook. You know, because that's something you hear him say throughout, you know, his conversation. And then the God of Israel used it on him.
Mm-hmm.
He used it on him in a dream. And when Jacob left and took Leah and Rachel and her two servants and his 13 children, he jetted. he was on his way home, and Laban was coming after him, and the God of Israel met him in a dream, and he said this, don't speak neither good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
He used his own words.
Amen.
You better not, don't even, and it, you know, and he knew it was from God, because that's my hook.
Amen.
Read on.
Verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth.
Mm.
And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold.
Told you them camels was loaded.
Amen.
Look what he got.
And raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink.
So Sarah had precious things.
Mm-hmm, precious things.
If he was able to get out of way, what did Sarah think was beautiful enough to keep?
Amen.
Her tent was decked.
Amen.
And when they packed up and moved, they had a lot of camels. Read on.
Verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. At the least 10.
Here comes Satan.
At the
right?
least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord have prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.
Remember at the top of that? Because that was the whole thing. Let her decide
right.
whether or not if she wants to go.
That's right.
So there it is. So now we see that it fell back on her again. It wasn't their choice to make. Not this. Read on.
Verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go.
You think?
And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Whoa. Amen. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, and that's Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide.
So he praying.
Okay. He went out to
all
meditate.
This is all prayer. You see all these prayers yes, going around? Sir. Now, if he's meditating, he's not talking.
Amen.
Meditation is, but then you get these bizarros. They'll be like,
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up
Don't
his
get
eyes.
Me started. That's like talking in tongues to me. But anyway, go ahead.
Wow. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
So he said, Isaac brought her into his mother's tent. So Sarah had her own tent, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at that. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 16.
Amen.
In verse 8. Where did she get this tent from? Abraham? You know, I mean, he came up. Did he give her a tent? 16 and 8, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8 reads, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold.
No, no, no. Skip down to 10.
Okay, go to 10.
Yes, ma'am.
I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk.
So that's the type of stuff Sarah was covered in. Linen, silk, broader work, gold. What else?
Verse 11, I decked thee also with ornaments.
She was decked out with jewels. I mean, she blinging isn't that little chunk change we be seeing on these so-called stars. Ain't nothing compared to this brilliance.
Amen.
Look at this. Read on.
I deck thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head.
So it was him. He put the crown on her head. He put the earring in Rebecca's ear. He put the bracelet on her wrist. It was God, because she was predestinated. He gave it to her. It was already written that he was going to make sure she had it.
Amen.
Continue.
Verse 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work.
So the Lord had us in fine linen.
Yes, he did.
You know, linen. And silk.
Amen.
You know, and you know, that raw silk is more breathable than that smooth silk, you know. But I can imagine they had all kind of silk. And silk come from worms. So this silk came from Asia. But then they was in Asia Minor. But then again, you had traveling bands, and if they seen a band like Abraham's, and they were merchants, and their servants were asking, well, wait a minute, before you even come to my master, what you working with? And then the servant would go out there and check it out.
Amen.
And see if it was any good, if it wasn't. And then he'll buy it. They never saw Abraham. But they brought all this stuff to, from God to him. Look what else he did. Read on.
Amen. And didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom.
Okay. Let's look at this a little further. So let's go back to Genesis 24 and 67.
Genesis chapter 24 and verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
There it is. Now she in the picture.
Now she's in the picture.
Okay. So we're going to deal with Rebekah part two. You know, she is the mother of two kingdoms, so we got to bring them into the play. You know, because those two kingdoms are right now, here, and now. They still physical. They still functioning under the same prophecy. They still operating under the same prophecy that Isaac put forward.
Amen.
So Isaac was a prophet. But then again, his father was a prophet. This is kind of hereditary. Jacob was a prophet. Joseph was a prophet.
Amen.
All them brothers was prophets. As the law said, I gave your sons and daughters for prophets and prophetess. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And to the family on Facebook, want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for your time. And we hope we edify someone. And shalom.
Shalom, family.
And so our family here at the Sound of the Living Waters want to thank you so very dearly for tuning in and always, always giving us your time.
Amen.
And we hope and pray that this message was edifying as we go further into this conversation of Sarah, of Rebecca. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So with that being said, I want to thank you for your time. And we hope we edify someone. As we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, please
read your Bibles. Amen.
Sound of the Living Water Radio Show. Sound of the Living Water. Sound of the Living Water. Sound of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.